Hello and welcome to When She Leads, a podcast for women serving in ministry. I'm your host, Brenda Leavenworth, and I want to sit at the table with you and consider the complexities and realities of leading as a woman. Listen in as we confront each topic biblically and practically. So today our topic is understanding spiritual gifts, and I'm joined by Kelly Bell and Rosemary Katie.
Hey guys.
Hi there.
I'm the one that sounds like a man today, so I apologize. Oh, no.
You have a deep voice.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, I love this topic. Spiritual gifts are probably one of the most needed aspects in the church today, yet widely misunderstood. Some churches assert that the gifts ceased with the apostles and therefore not in operation today, and they would be called cessationists, meaning the gifts ceased with the apostles when they left this earth. And some have a tendency to elevate giftings above everything else, and so they become experience-based. But the problem with that is that we know that then you need a bigger and better experience every time you every time you go to use the gifts, then they get out of control. And so what's a balanced approach to the gifts? What are they for? When talking about the gifts, you know, we would hold to a continuationist position, believing wholeheartedly that the gifts are supposed to be operational and in use today and very, very important to the church. So let's see if we can bring some clarity today to and unravel some of these misconceptions, and then maybe give some clarity to some of the ways that we can see the gifts. Because I know one of the biggest questions I get around the church and even from leaders is, you know, what has God gifted me in? Or I'm using these gifts, and but I don't know what they are. I don't know how to identify them. And oh, that's a spiritual gift. I'm using that gift. I didn't know it. Or the misconception that everybody thinks like, well, maybe other people are gifted, maybe I'm not gifted. So we kind of want to unpack that today. Right. And maybe we'll even get into one of the most hot topics of the gift of tongues. And so who wants to go first?
Well, I think before we start actually looking at the gifts, in my own mind, you know, as far as logically, I'm thinking, why are they given? Who are they yep. given to? And then what are they? But I guess wanting to start at why are they given? Why did God see fit to do this? And Ephesians 4:12 talks about for the equipping of the church. So we know that he gives us gifts to equip the church. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, he talks about, after he's talking about the gifts, he talks about for the profit of all. And I really love in 1 Peter 4:10, where he says, as each one has received a gift, that's important when we talk about who gets a gift, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then down in 11, it talks about so that God may be glorified. So again, we are given them to serve one another. You know, there's so many one another's in scripture, and sometimes we forget that the gifting that he's given us are for one another and for God to be glorified. And so I think we have to remember that they're not based on his love for us. Oh, I love Rosemary more than I love Kelly, so I'm going to give her the teaching gift and make you, you know, cook in the back. You know, that's not how it is. He gives them to us to fit the calling that he has for us. And so I think that's important to remember. So sorry guys, I'll just go blah blah blah. So jump in. What do you guys got? What do you guys got too on why they're given? Anything extra?
I love that you brought up the 1 Peter 4 verse, because that one's really important, and most people don't even remember this one in association with the gifts. That's the one that tells us how we're to use our gifts. Like in other scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 lists the gifts, and here it's telling you how to use the gifts. And this is, I think, the part that we tend to mess up, because mm-hmm. God gives us the gifts and then we're the ones that don't use them correctly.
Right.
So I think that's where the problems come in.
Yeah. And he gives us, we're supposed to pray and seek and earnestly pray for and desire gifts, but it says he gives them to us as he wills. Talks about that in 1 Corinthians 12 a few times, and then in 12:18 too, as he pleased.
Right.
And so that's important. Again, we can desire gifts and pray for them, but again, they are to fit our calling that he has for us to serve one another, to serve in the church, to serve the body of Christ and outside. And so he knows what he's doing when he's gifting us. So
that's right. And in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So these are things that people are kind of scared of, because I think they don't really know which one they'll get. And oh my goodness, they might be afraid to use it if they have to. They might be afraid that they would have to speak in a tongue or something like that, right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I think that is important what you guys are saying, that it's not based either on our worthiness. It's just based on his sovereign will and what he has for us. Yeah. And I think identifying the spiritual gifts, like I know a lot of people that, you know, they'll be using the gifts but not know how to identify it. Like, I do that. Oh, yeah. So, you know, and we'll talk about like the gift testing, you know, those things that, like, they're not end all be all, and but sometimes they help you recognize where you're serving. Another thing we should note too is it's not necessarily based on natural talent. Like, God can use our natural talent, but a spiritual gift is that thing that's supernatural.
Right. Not natural talents or character strengths or character traits. Yeah. Although those are given to us by God too. That's the heart. You know what I mean? You are who you are because God made you that way,
but those are
different than supernatural giftings.
But there's a couple of things, I think, to think of that when you're trying to identify what your gift is, there's your inclination of how you want to react to a certain situation. And I've heard it taught many times like this, that, you know, maybe some little kid is walking in and trips and spills the glass of water he's carrying and breaks the glass and falls to the floor. And how you react to something like that might show what your gift is. That if you go over there and say, "You poor child, oh, let me comfort you," that might be your gift right there, is to comfort. But you might be like, "Oh, look at that. How in the world did that happen? Let's look at the carpet. Oh, there's a fold in the carpet." And you know, you have maybe your inclination to how you're going to react that might show what your gift would be. Another thing that I've noticed is that if you have a gift, you know, like say you have a gift of service, and you might come in and say, "Oh goodness, this is not being done correctly. These people are sitting down and look at these needs, and we need to be going over there and doing these things. This is not being done right." And so maybe your frustration in seeing a gift done poorly or not done right might also reflect that you are given some kind of
gifting,
yes, that's the word we're talking about, from God, that you understand how that gift should be operating. You have a desire to do these things, and you're frustrated when they're not done correctly.
Right.
And I think that brings up a good point, that all of us are gifted differently. And sometimes, you know, when we have a gift, we think everybody in the church should be doing maybe what we're doing.
Oh my gosh, that's totally true all the time.
Yes, but yet, that's not what Romans 12 says, and we'll get into that in a bit, but you know what I mean? Like, many members, and we all work together to be healthy. So, Rosemary, share with us just some places in Scripture where we could find the gifts. What are some of those areas where we can look at gifts? If someone's listening and says, "Well, where do I find that in the Bible?"
Right. Before we do that, can I just make a comment on what you said?
Yeah.
Because early on in my Christianity, I feel like I have the gift of service. Okay, but I didn't know it. But Rosemary, like you said, I'd go in a room and things were out of place or whatever. So I'm running around, you know, moving chairs and benches and doing all that. And I found myself a lot of times people just standing there and you're like, "Excuse me," and they wouldn't help you, you know, but you're running around. And so it took me a long time early on to realize exactly what you said. This is my gift. And not that they shouldn't be helping, but I can't judge everyone in light of my gift. And I think that's so important. Why aren't people giving as much as me? They're not as hospitable as me. They all should be doing this. I think that's such a good point. And again, not that we shouldn't be meeting urgent needs and doing what we need to do, but not to compare and judge is a huge thing. Yeah. So sorry.
Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane, people.
No, that's a good point, because people are frustrated when you're not doing what they think everyone should.
Yes. Yes. All right. Go ahead with the list. Sorry.
So, no, that's okay. That was a good point. I like this, that there's the two books, Romans and 1 Corinthians, one right after the other, and they're both in chapter 12. So that's how I remember that, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. And there's two lists there that describe both of them a body. And both passages talk about how we are a body, and the body has many members, various parts of the body. And I love that, because we need to remember that we can't all have the same giftings and can't all be doing just the one or two things. There are huge amounts of needs.
Right.
Should we read through one of these? Let's read Romans 12. And here it just lists from verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Verse 4, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
Right. That's such a great thing. And I kind of wanted to talk through just like personally something that I read that gave me a lot of clarity to like just how to like organize the gifts in my head, because sometimes you get these exhaustive lists, and you know, you were saying the other day, Kelly, that like, you know, that all these lists aren't exhaustive. Some are listed in some areas, some are listed in other areas. We've been given the gifts test. I have just a general list just so that we can like people that are listening can know what to that we're talking about. And everyone calls them something different. Mm-hmm. One will call it administration and someone else will call it something different. But
leadership.
Here's sort of a list, but don't get caught up on the names of the list because everybody calls them something different. But administration, apostle, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, giving, healing, helps, hospitality, knowledge, leadership, mercy, prophecy, serving, speaking in tongues, teaching, wisdom. These are some of the gifts that are listed. And like I said, that's not exhaustive, but there was a book that I read, and I'll recommend it at the end, but it really brought some clarity to me personally on the gifts. And one of the ways that it was described in somewhat categories, like manifestation gifts, and I think that one's really important, and I want to lean into that, ministry and then motivational gifts. And so for manifestation, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, and you look up the word for gifts, and I'm going to butcher this in the Greek, but it's phanerosis. And I should have looked at the pronunciation, but
sounds good.
Yeah, whatever. It's all Greek to me. And this is an exhibition, expression, or manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And so when you're thinking about gifts being manifested, and there, I think there was either 7 or 9 listed there, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues. Those are the ones lifted in 1 Corinthians 12. So if you say, let's say you're talking about healing, that's a manifestation. These are gifts that like are manifested on the spot when you need them. When you're in counseling and you maybe have a word of knowledge, that's a manifestation of God's Spirit. In healing, like if I say, oh, I have the gift of healing, well, then why don't you just go down to the hospital and heal every single person? You know what I mean? If that's something you can do just on command. No, it's a manifestation of the Spirit.
Right.
This was very helpful to me in discerning the gifts and how they're used, because then that sort of brings out, like if I'm going to speak in tongues in a public setting, that's a manifestation of the Spirit. That's not just something that I'm going to do. Now I can speak in tongues or not speak in tongues. We use it as a prayer language as well. But that was just really very, very helpful. I don't know if you guys, before I go on to the next one, if you guys have anything that you want to add to that.
I think that's a good, I remember one time someone asking me, because they had the Lord had given me a word of knowledge for someone. Actually, it was in a public setting. And someone came up after and they're like, do you know stuff about everybody? Like, that freaked him out. Like, I just walk around and I know stuff. And I'm like, no, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit, as he shows you something right then and there. So, yeah, it's not like you on command.
You just know all the deep, dark secrets in everybody's life.
As soon as I look at you, I know what you're doing. But as you're counseling someone, that's what you're praying for. God, give me every gift I need right now. Give me a discerning of spirits. Give me a word of knowledge and give me the gift of wisdom as I'm counseling this person, because they might be saying something and God's given me a word of knowledge about what's really happening, you know, and then wisdom on how to apply that. And so it's important for all those gifts and even the gift of discernment as you're counseling, you have to have that. I mean, I think if you are counseling, that is a gift that God wants to give you, because to even discern whether truth from the lie of what they're saying and stuff. So they work simultaneously together, but it is a manifestation of the Spirit, definitely.
Yeah. These are supernatural workings of the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
But right now, I know something about you, Rosemary. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, and honestly, a note on that, because I think sometimes people say, oh, I have a word for you. Oh, I have a word from the Lord from you. Now, if you're a person that possesses that gift, be careful when we say, thus saith the Lord, because, and I think that we need confirmations when you're giving a word out that you need people to say, oh, that was for me, or, you know, and I'll look for that even in my teaching. If I give a word of the Lord in a teaching, then I want a confirmation. I want someone to come to me and say, that was for me, because then that's confirming, like, yes, that was 100% from the Spirit of God, instead of like, you've known the people that come out and say, oh, I have a word from the Lord for you. And it's like,
you're going to get married in a month.
Yeah. That people, boys used to say that about my daughters. Like, I have a word from the Lord. I'm going to marry you. It's like, well, they can't have three husbands. So two of you aren't telling the truth. Yeah. I can't confirm that. The next one is found in Ephesians 4, and these are gifts. I'll just read it. It says, now these are the gifts. This is in the New Living Translation. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So these giftings are people. The Greek word there is, it's domo, but there's another word for it too. You look it up. Like giving a present. These are gifted men and women that are given to the church, the apostles, pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelism, and their job is to equip. And so these are gifted people, because obviously these are supernatural gifts. Some of these things that are listed are on other spiritual gifts lists that we see in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. These are gifted, supernaturally gifted men and women called to the office of prophet, apostle, evangelist, pastor, teacher within the church to equip the saints. And so that helped me understand that section of scripture. So I don't know if you guys have anything on that you'd like to say.
Yeah, I think this passage leads us to ask the question then, that if you have these gifts, does that mean you need an office at the church? Does that mean you need to have, you know, a title at the church, like I am the church evangelist at Whitefields, you know? And I would say no, you know, because you have these are not meaning that that's going to be your role at the church with a title.
Right. Yeah. Because that, like, evangelism, like you said, is in a different, it's in a different list. So,
all of us should be evangelizing, but then I think there is a spiritual gift of evangelism. Even for pastors, I think there's a passage that talks about do the work of an evangelist. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think that we're all to be doing that, but I have the gift of teaching, but that doesn't mean I'm a pastor in the church. You know what I mean? Like, you have the gift of teaching. It doesn't mean you're going to be holding a role. But that's why I think this is important to understand when you're talking about spiritual gifts, because in Ephesians 4, it's talking about that he gives gifts, people, to the church that are gifted. But those gifts are also on other lists.
Right.
You know, sons and daughters prophesy. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the church, there's a scripture that talks about when the church gathers, one gives an instruction, one gives a prophecy, one gives, you know, we're all participating in the body of Christ. So I think that's important. And the third, in Romans 12, the word for gift there is charisma. And these are the gifts that we use, I think, to benefit. A lot of people don't like that title, motivational And so I think these are the gifts that we use to benefit one another. These are like the one another gifts, you know. And there's a list here. It's perceiver, server, teacher, exhorter, giver, admin, mercy. Mm-hmm. But I think some of those are even like talked about in different, using different words. But
hospitality, was that in there?
I don't know what that one is. That is one of the gifts.
Server, it might be server, okay. Hospitality. So like I said, some people call them differently. There are different lists. But so let's talk about those gifts. Like this is the majority of the church, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think, again, he's given gifts as he wills. And I guess we've said before, but he compares it to a body, and a healthy church body, it's when everyone is functioning using their gifts. And again, the unseen to the ones who are in the back that nobody sees, and to the ones who are front who everybody sees. If we're all working together, all using our gifts, that's what a healthy body is. And so it's important to... first of all, to use your gift in the body, that's important, because it's not just be a churchgoer, just come and leave. You know, he wants to use you in the body of Christ. But that's what a healthy church is, and we need to remember that. It all matters. We all work together. Whoever's teaching is no, quote, better than the other one. They all work together. Just like, I remember I broke my thumb once and I had pins in it and all kinds of stuff. And I never realized how much I used my thumb, right? I mean, it was all bad. I couldn't open doors. I couldn't do anything. And it was just such a good reminder to me that maybe we're a thumb and we think what we do doesn't matter, but how important it is to the whole body, every part that we have. So I think that's really key. And then not, again, comparing or that too. We're supposed to desire gifts, but I remember early on, I wanted to desire not, I look at someone teaching, oh, I want that one. It's really wanting, well, I guess you can pray that, but wanting the one that's going to fit what God's called you to do, and to praying that, okay, I'm going to counsel, what do I need to do this well to, you know, to be effective. And those are the gifts that God gives you. So
I think opportunities plays into it too, because what's God inviting you to do?
Yeah.
You know, if he's inviting you to counsel, I mean, you can't just say, well, I want to counsel. God, give me the gifts to do it. It's like, where are the invitations? That's, you know, how I try to help people discover their gifts. Well, where is God inviting you? What are the invitations that are coming in, or what are the needs that God's putting in front of you?
And you can grow in your gift too, I think, even though it's spiritual. You know,
absolutely.
What I mean? Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I think that's what Paul is instructing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He tells him to fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. And that's coming with practice. Mm-hmm. And like Brenda said earlier, it's people coming up to her confirming that was, for me, that word of knowledge. And so these things encourage us to grow in our gifts, is when people, you know, are encouragers, or people confirm what they've experienced supernaturally.
Don't be dormant.
Yep. Yes.
Definitely. And they're not for self-promotion, but again, for accomplishing his purposes on earth. And so it's not to look good, and not for anyone else to think we're great,
but
serve one another and glorify God. And we can fall into that trap because we're people too. So,
oh yeah, I was going to bring that up, that there are just so many problems, like we mentioned at the beginning, that come on our end as we use gifts. And you know, one of them is just humility, that we need to have humility, that we don't need to seek to be recognized or some special honor.
Right.
Yeah.
For what God has given us, right?
It's not ours. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't belong to us. But I think the important part too, and I think it's in the First Peter verses, but that we're to use them, because also you have the counter point to that, where people are afraid to use the gift that God's given them. Like, I could never get up on stage and teach, even though maybe God's called them to teach, or they're afraid to take the risk to actually use a gift that maybe God has given them. And so I think that there's that fine balance between that risk-taking and boldness with humility, knowing that it doesn't belong to us, that that it's a supernatural gifting and that it might be contrary to our natural ability, mm-hmm. because I've heard that too, right? Mm-hmm. Like people will say, oh, I feel like God's stirring within me this, but that's not me.
Yeah.
I can't do that. It's like, that's the perfect gift.
My husband's been a pastor for almost 40 years and he took speech in college and he said, his teacher said, you know, some people just aren't made to speak in front right. of people. I'm like, okay.
Exactly.
I think as leaders, this is something that we can help people along with, that we can recognize gifts in people and help them with some baby steps. Mm-hmm. Like I wouldn't take someone from the audience to putting them up on stage to teach. I would give them baby steps along the way. And something that I do personally here as I do the women's ministry is I let people have an opportunity at an event to do something like share their testimony, or maybe in a small group, discussion group or something like that, to try, you know, just speaking, answering questions, things like that, so that they have baby steps. So it's not like I go from not practicing that gift to being in front of a bunch of people practicing that yeah. gift. So I think it's important for us as leaders to help them with some baby steps to get to where they're called mm-hmm. to be.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, really good point. Hey, well, you're listening to a long conversation on understanding spiritual gifts. So we are going to break here and continue this conversation in our next episode, which will be labeled part 2.